Lord, we're so thankful. Words can't describe how awesome you are. And your kindness and your mercy that you show upon each and every one of us each and every day. Father, I pray that in the busyness of this season and the busyness of life, that we would never forget you. That we would seek to know you more each and every day. Father, I pray now as we study your word that if there's any that's down, if there's any that's depressed, if there's any that's looking for purpose, that they would find it today. Knowing you and knowing that you have a plan for each and every one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this week, I got a little overwhelmed, really the last couple of weeks, with busyness and everything. And I'd been thinking about preaching on Mary and Martha and just one making the preparations and for what was taking place and one sitting at Jesus' feet. And I kept thinking about that and I kept thinking, Pete, you just need to slow down a minute and stop. And pray and seek the Lord and in doing all that that's not what I'm preaching on. but it has been an up and down week and a busy week and just trying to plan out all the Christmas events and everything sometimes can get so overwhelming that you forget to just stop and enjoy this time of year. And so I encourage you to stop and enjoy this time of year, enjoy your kids, enjoy your family, enjoy whatever God has blessed you with. But today what I felt like the Lord had led me to talk about was God has a purpose for you. And I feel like I've preached on this recently. I didn't really go back and try to find it again to see if I had, because I'm really trying to get to where I just trust what the Lord lays on my heart. And maybe it's just for me, but maybe it's for everybody else also. But in Esther 4:14, it says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's house, your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this." And I love that verse, "for such a time as this," because you were all placed here for such a time as this. It's not an accident that you're at Coop Prairie Church this morning on December, is today the 12th, at 11:24, 25, somewhere in there. It's not an accident that you're here today. It may be here that you're here every Sunday. It may be the first Sunday you've ever been here. It may be the first Sunday you've been here in a long time. But God has a purpose and God has a message for you this morning and for me. And as I was thinking about this, for such a time as this, and I was thinking about all this COVID junk, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. And just when I think things are going to get back to normal, and then here we go again. Here we go again. Have some folks out this morning with it. They're doing great. They're at the end of it. But man, you just when you think it's out of our area, God, why? And then I was just thinking about the craziness of the world and the craziness of politics. And you listen to anything political for very long and it's going to make you angry. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. It'll make you angry. It'll get you upset. And the craziness of politics. But God has said, for such a time as this, I've placed you here. So you're placed here for such a time as this. In the sickness, in the technology. I was thinking the difference of how I used to prepare a sermon when I first started preaching versus now. And used to, I was in the back of my Bible, cross-referencing and all this. And now, you know what I do? Man, I can just type in a topic or something and it'll pop up 100 verses that has to do with that. And how technology's changing everything, but technology can be very bad too. It can make us lazy, can it? It can make us tempted in areas. Whether last week we talked about coveting, whether seeing what everybody else has and all that they've got and make us covet for that, to leading our eyes astray in other areas. But God has placed you here in this time of the world, in this time in history, because He has a purpose and He has a plan for you. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." You think about that. God already has something prepared for you for next week, for next month, for next year, for however long you got breath in your lungs. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has something prepared for you. Now, some of you, when you left work Friday, that work's going to wait on you till Monday, right? It's not going anywhere. Your job is different than my job. If I'm not there, my job's still getting done whether I'm there or not. They just have someone else step up and do it. But some of y'all, no one else is going to be there to do your job. You have to do it. It's waiting on you. And some of y'all like, "Thanks, Pete. You made me think of all I got to do tomorrow morning, you know." But I want you to think about that in the spiritual realm. Do we live each day going, "God, what do you have prepared for me today? Who am I going to meet? Who am I going to get to visit with? Lord, who are you going to bring to my mind that I need to pray for? God, this is so exciting, God, because I have no idea, but you've already got it all planned out. You've already got it all mapped out. It's just me listening and following in obedience." God has a great and wonderful purpose for each and every one of us. And I want to, if you want to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and I was thinking of Zechariah and Elizabeth and God's timing, and since we're in the Christmas time of the season, I thought that I would begin here. In Luke 1, let's begin about verse 6, and this is about Zechariah and Elizabeth, my eyes get focused here. "Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well along in years." Y'all hear that? I could probably just stop and preach the rest of the day on that one verse right there. Two verses right there. They followed God's commands, and they were blameless. Yet she was barren and they had no children. You mean if life's bad, you still follow God's commands? You mean when things aren't perfect, you still follow God's commands? You mean when life's falling apart and you're just distraught and you're saying, "God, where are you?" You still follow His commands? We were watching a documentary yesterday on scams and how they're scamming people. They mainly target older people, lonely people, and it's a $1 billion industry how they're scamming these people. They call people and say, "You've won a car, you've won a lottery, and you've got to send us $1,000 to process it, and then you're getting $10 million. And you think, "Well, why would people fall for it?" And they fall for it all the time. But something really bothered me about this documentary is these thieves that are doing this or have their voice distorted and they're in masks because they didn't want anybody to know who they were. And this it was a woman, and she said, "You know, as a child, I sat in church every week." And she lives in another country, and it's a poverty-stricken country. And she says, I sat in church every week with my parents and grandparents. And she said, "Yet we still went hungry." She said, "I got older and my uncle got this, I don't remember what kind of sickness it was. And he needed a surgery and they couldn't afford the surgery. So he died." She said, "Where was God in all that? God's supposed to be taking care of me. I prayed and I tried to be faithful. Where was God in all of that?" And she said some blasphemous things. And she says, "So now I do what I can to get my money." And she scams all these people. And you know, we think that's so terrible. But you know what? There's people that they might not say it. But they're struggling and they're saying, where's God? Why isn't God answering my prayers? Why isn't God here? They follow God's commands and they walk blamelessly. Even in their hurt, even in their pain, even in their struggle. And church, it's not easy, but we have to follow God. We're going to talk more about that in a little while, I think. Once when Zacharias' division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." I got underlined in my Bible here that your prayers have been heard. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when I'm praying, I've really felt like, God, are you hearing me? God hears our prayers, church. Now, the answers may not be in our time. The answers may, we might not even see it while we're here on earth. But God does hear our prayers and our cries. Many of the people of Israel will He bring back to the Lord their God. And He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he's telling them what John's purpose is going to be, that he's going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ coming, that he's going to begin to prepare the people. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." He's like, "Well, wait a minute. How is this going to happen? We prayed our whole life for children and now I'm old and you're going to give me a child? It doesn't even make sense. How's this even going to happen?" The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my word, which will come true at the proper time." I don't know when I preached on this before, but I'd had prayers that he'd heard his prayers. I had a people prepared for the Lord underlined, and then I had at the proper time underlined. Because we pray and we seek the Lord and He prepares a way, and we'll see it come to pass at His proper time. It's not our timing. It's not everything that we want. It's not always the way that we want it, but it's God's timing. God has done so many miracles. And so many times it's not how we think. It's not how we would want it to happen. And we get so upset when we don't see the answer right away. We get so upset because we're a McDonald's culture, right? We want it right away. We're the Burger King, isn't it? I have it your way, you know, because you can customize the order there. I hadn't ate at Burger King in years. I don't know, but I used to see the commercials and we want it, and we want it right now at our time. But that's not the way that God works. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When the time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said, "and these days He has shown His favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." See, today in our culture, in our time, a lot of people see baby as an inconvenience. They want to abort a baby. They don't. Well, it's not in my timing. I'm not ready for it right now in my life. But in that day and time, a woman to have a baby, it was a glory, and it was something that she cherished, and it brought purpose to her life, as it still should be today. And so God's taken away her shame or her disgrace at an old age. And I want to go over. It's tough for me to read this much, but to get this full story, I want you to jump over to verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to the father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." God had a special plan and a purpose for John. But I don't want you to think for one minute that God doesn't have a special plan and a purpose for your life. Because that's how awesome God is. That's how wonderful God is, that He has a plan. He has a purpose for you and for me. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and redeemed His people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath He swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemy and to enable us to serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. You know, probably if I'd been to any kind of schooling, they'd have just said, "You just read way too long and you just lost everybody's attention." But, you know, sometimes we need to just read the Word and read what it has to say. Probably need to be doing more of that, actually. John was born with a purpose. God had a plan for John. In Matthew 3:11, John, this is John speaking, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John understood that he had a purpose, that he had a plan, and that his plan was to prepare the people for Jesus. And maybe some of you today, you're sitting here going, "Well, Pete, that's awesome, that's incredible, that's great. But I have no direction like that. My parents weren't greeted by an angel before I was born, and I wasn't prayed over like that. And this is great. This is phenomenal. But what about for me?" But John knew his purpose, and John understood. And this verse, I think, is relevant for us today. In John 3:30, "He must become greater and I must become less." See, Jesus Christ needs to become greater in each and every one of our lives, and we must become less so we can understand what our purpose is. In Jeremiah 1:5, he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Well, so this is talking about Jeremiah, but you know what? It's the same thing for you and for me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. We've just read about that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works prepared in advance for us. So God has something prepared for you and for me. Before we were even in our mother's womb, He knew us and He knew what plan, He knew what purpose He had for us. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, says, "What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each His task." See, that what that's saying there is each of us are just servants. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who planted nor he who watered is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who planted and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Do you ever feel like you're God's fellow worker? Do you feel like God has a plan and you're part of that plan? Are you listening when the Holy Spirit speaks? I heard this this testimony, and just yesterday a lady was talking about she was in, I take it that they were in Florida, like, fishing, and they said the winds and the storms were so strong, and they were on like an inlet river that goes out to the ocean. And she said the Holy Spirit told her, said, "Pack up your gear and go now." And she said that she began to tell her husband what she felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to her. And her husband listened. And she said the urgency kept getting stronger and stronger. The Holy Spirit saying, "Pack up your gear and go now." Said they packed up their gear and they took off. And she said the storm was just battering them. And said they seen something in the water on up the river. And as they got closer, they realized it was someone bobbing in the water. And said they got up to him and he was barely alive. And she's like, "I got you, I got you." And said the Holy Spirit was telling her, "Get the ropes off of him." And she realized his legs and ankles were tangled up in fishing nets and ropes, and that was attached to the boat, and the boat just went down right when they got there. So she's doing her best to get the ropes untangled, and she said, "I got you, I got you." And he mumbled something, and she looked and she realized there was another man in the water, but he was already gone. She got him in the boat, and she said that man had told him three boats had already passed by while the friend was still alive and left him in the water. Now, her point of her testimony was telling us how many people are sinking in sin and we're just going by and we need to tell them about Jesus. But what I took away from that testimony is listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying and react. Some of you are playing a big part in an answered prayer right now with the story that I shared last week. Last night that lady texted me, and the church is going to help her in other ways and stuff, but I didn't deliver to her. I didn't see her all week, so I hadn't talked to her. And I wish I could just put the text up on the screen to let you guys see it. She said, "I'd been praying," I'm roughly summarizing, "and nobody was listening. I'd asked for help, and nobody helped. And a complete stranger that I don't even ask helps and shows God's love. And because of this, I have hope now that I'm going to be taken care of and that my kids are going to have a Christmas this year." Y'all, all I did was, and I told her, I said, "You give God the glory." I told y'all, I didn't tell her this. I was in a hurry. I didn't want to stick around. And the Lord said, "Ask her questions." And all I did was ask her questions. and it opened the door. And you guys are getting to be a part of that. Some of you is out buying gifts, some of you giving money, and some of you maybe you're just helping because the church is helping and you give to the church. It's just listening. And it's not this big grand thing. I didn't stop and pray and heaven opened up. I didn't call down fire from heaven. All I did was just said, what's going on? And God opened up the door. It's those little things of just listening to God. It's those little things that God has set us apart and given us work to do each and every day. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we realizing that it doesn't matter, just like Apollos and Paul here, who was it that planted? Who was it that watered? It's God that causes the increase. And so it's just us listening daily, whether, I don't know, maybe that lady, her family had been praying for her. I think she'd said in the text that other people had been praying for her and that we were an answer to those prayers. You don't know how God's going to use you, but those people that's been praying for her. And then it's just wherever God gives us opportunity to help. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Do we understand that we are Christ's representatives, that God has something prepared for each and every one of us, each and every day? And I'm not saying everybody's going to be a preacher, everybody's going to be a singer, everybody's going to be a musician, but are you praying? Are you saying, God, I understand that You have a purpose. I understand that there's something greater than I can even imagine. Just as John was born with a purpose, and just as Jeremiah says he was set apart and appointed as a prophet to the nations, God has a purpose and a plan for you. Church, I can't emphasize this enough. Is it always easy? Well, we had just read where Elizabeth had went her whole life not being able to be a mother. That's not easy, right? Is it always easy? And I go back to Acts chapter 9. Maybe. Lost my mark. Awkward silence, huh? There we go. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. Is it always easy? But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Ananias was told to go to Paul, who was Saul. We all know that story. He's scared of him. But he's saying now he is his chosen instrument and that he's going to have to suffer greatly being a chosen instrument. You guys think about yesterday I was painting some stuff, trying to get it done, and I couldn't find my hammer. And when I went to close up the paint can, and I couldn't find the hammer, so I had this wrench. You know what I did? I used the wrench as a hammer and tapped back on the top of the paint. Should I do that? No. The hammer has a purpose, right? And if you're a hammer and you're hitting nails, that's not always easy, right? That can be hard. That can be tough. Where that wrench, usually what it does is it just grabs a bolt and twists and turns, right? And that's all it does. But I used it as a hammer. And sometimes, church, some of us, God has a purpose, God has a plan for us, and we might are supposed to be the hammer and we're acting like a tape measure. Or we're supposed to be the tape measure and we're acting like the nut. I just come up with that. That's pretty good, wasn't it? Sometimes we're not doing what we're supposed to do, but if we would just all step back and pray, and not everybody's going to be the preacher, not everybody's going to be the singer, not everybody's going to be the musician, not everybody's going to be in the spotlight. Do you know how wonderful it is to come to this church and it smells good? And to go into a bathroom and it's clean? That doesn't just happen. Someone's doing it. I'm grateful for that. Do you know how awesome it is that I don't even think about children's church? It never crosses my mind unless Samantha texts me and say, "Hey, we're going to be out of town. It doesn't even." Do you know how wonderful that is? That someone's taking care of that. That they found their calling. That they're doing it. You know how wonderful it is that I don't have to sing. It's really wonderful. I promise you, it's really wonderful. I don't think about the songs. I don't think about the music, and God's blessing us. I was telling Mitzi last week. It used to be if Mitzi was gone, if Kyle was gone, we were in trouble. Tim usually had to step up and sing. Now we have Mitzi, we have Charles, we have Keaton, we've got Bridget. And actually, there's more of y'all that could sing. I just don't know if you would get up here and do it. What a blessing it is. God using us and shaping us. God has a purpose. God has a plan. We are God's workmanship. But sometimes life is hard, and sometimes us being the chosen instrument that we are, we're going to suffer. The Bible says that the world hated Him, and sometimes they're going to hate us. You look at what Jesus endured and had to suffer on that cross, and you know what? Some of us, we got to learn to carry our cross daily, and some of us are suffering right now in ways that I can't imagine. But just as Zechariah and Elizabeth, they didn't waver. We need to not waver, and we need to understand. Hebrews 6:10 says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." God is not unjust. He's not going to forget all the work you've done. He's not going to forget. When no one else sees, when no one else knows, when you're at home and God's laid on your heart to pray for someone, when God's laid on your heart to weep for someone, when God is laid on your heart to help that person in Walmart, when God's laid on your heart to buy that Christmas gift, when God's laid on your heart to just text that person, and nobody else knows. You don't get to come up here and tell your stories like a big mouth like me. I get to tell my stories. Some of y'all don't get to share your stories, but you're working diligently each and every day. And nobody may know. God knows. God knows. And He's got a purpose and a plan. Matthew 10:42, last verse. "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, who is my disciple, truly I tell you that that person will certainly not lose his reward." When we're following God and we're following the Holy Spirit and doing what God tells us and we're understanding that God has a purpose, you're not going to lose your reward. He knows, even when no one else knows, He knows. And so I want to encourage you this morning and in this holiday season, you're busy, everything's going on, you're in a hurry, you're trying to get your shopping, you're trying to get your work done, whatever it is, take a moment and stop. I've really tried to do this, and I can't honestly say I do it every morning, but I try. As soon as my eyes open, I don't like hearing the alarm clock go off, but I'll shut off the alarm, and I'll thank God. Thank you, God, for another day. And I say, "Lord, may I do Your will today." I try to do it every morning to just get my mind right. God, thank You for another day. may I do your will today. Is there days go by that I don't feel like I've done anything for God? Yeah, there is. There's days at the end of the day, the end of the week come, and I think, what did I even do this week? I was so busy, I was in such a hurry. God, what did I even do? But there's other days that God puts an abused woman in my path. And all I say is, what's going on? And He gives opportunities to help. If I wouldn't ask, I'd have never known. And I'd have never known that I missed an opportunity. How many of us are missing opportunities each and every day because we're not listening to the Holy Spirit? That lady that the Lord said, pack up your gear and go, saved a man's life. Who was really saving the life? It was the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit. But it was her being obedient. And all of us need to learn that obedience. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your many blessings, Lord. And I thank You that You have a plan and a purpose for each and every person in this room this morning. And Lord, when life is tough sometimes and things don't make sense, and maybe we're walking through that fire right now, maybe we're walking in that struggle right now, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would stay so focused upon You, Lord, and living righteously, even when the enemy's attacking at full force, Lord, that we would continue to seek You daily. And Father, may we begin to know Your voice more clearly each and every day, and understand that we are Your ambassadors, that we are Your representatives, Father, and whoever You place in our path, whoever You would bring to our mind, may we be obedient, whether it's praying for someone, or whether it's calling someone, or whether it's opening up our mouth and talking to someone, going and seeing someone, whatever it is, Lord, may we not be so busy that we miss You this holiday season. May You stay in the forefronts of our thoughts. And I pray that each one of us today, we would be encouraged from the moment we wake up every day to thank You for another day and to ask for Your guidance. That we would do Your will. That we would truly be Your instruments and Your tools here on earth. Father, I know there's some going through it right now. I pray for Your Holy Spirit to just indwell them, to show them Your love, Your compassion. Father, there's some, we've been so busy with life. We don't mean to, but we forget about You. Lord, may we get refocused this morning. Father, I believe there's some here this morning and they think they have no ability. They're maybe not a good singer. They're not a public speaker. Maybe they're not good at memorizing Scripture, and they think, how could I be used? May they understand that they were created the way they are for a purpose, for a plan. Before You even formed them in the womb, You knew them and You made them just the way they are. And may they seek to know Your will in their life each and every day. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, the altars are open. If you say, I just don't know what my purpose is, I encourage you, cry out to Jesus right now. And just begin to listen.
I need You more. More than yesterday, I need You more. More than words can say, I need You more than ever before. I need You more. I need You more. I need You more. More than yesterday, I need You more. More than words can say, I than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than my next heartbeat, more than anything, and as time goes by,